Right. You have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 11. It's the middle of February. The air conditioner's running and it's hot up here. I noticed the trees are blooming and the jonquils are up and blooming, and it's, like I say, just February. But who knows what lies ahead. John chapter 11. We're looking at the miracles of Jesus. We're looking at the miracle where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. We looked at those that dealt with him demonstrating his power and authority over the things of nature. We looked at several where he healed the sick of various things. And this is one where he raises the dead. John is the only writer of the Gospels that mentions this particular miracle. The other three do not. As we look at this, the account of this miracle is much longer than most of the miracle accounts of Jesus. Very much so. Many of the accounts of Jesus healing and doing various things are just two or three verses. This is basically almost a whole chapter, and it's very detailed. There is much, much, much to be learned from this miracle, and that's why I have looked at it pretty much expositorially from the very first verse, and we're going to continue to do that tonight, and I don't know if we'll even finish tonight or not. But this is a grand miracle. Now, all of them were grand. Let me remind you of this, all right? I know you know, but let me remind you. The ultimate purpose of all miracles was to prove and demonstrate God in his superiority and everything that he did and does. With Jesus, they were to demonstrate and to prove that he was the Son of God, that he was who he claimed to be. That is the purpose of miracles. That's what they all were done for. That was the reason that God sent them and showed them to us and such as that. We don't need that today. We don't need that today. We have the Word of God. If you want me to say, well, if I could see Jesus raise the dead, I'd believe. Read John chapter 11. You'll see Jesus raise the dead. You say, well, if I could just see him heal sickness. Read over there where the lady touched the hem of his garment. Read over there where he healed blind Bartimaeus. We can see those things literally. And to me, yes, it would have been neat to have been here in this occasion. But you know what? This is just as much a demonstration and manifestation of the power of Jesus to us today as I think it was to Mary and Martha and everybody else in that crowd that we're going to look at tonight. So be sure and remember that. And notice how many times, not every time, but how many times in the miracles of Jesus that he makes the statement that he did that to honor his Father. He did that to, it says something that where he tells us the purpose of that miracle, and it's always the same. So as we look at this, now remember just to review real quickly. Lazarus was, and Mary and Martha, two sisters and a brother, very dear personal friends with Jesus. And from just reading, and this tells us himself, in this text itself, in verse 5, John chapter 11, verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Jesus loved everybody. This demonstrates to us these folks had a special place in his heart. I believe they were close personal friends. Everything about you read about them indicates that very, very much so. And so Lazarus has become very, very ill. We don't know what was wrong with him, and that's irrelevant. We know that Mary and Martha sent for Jesus, asked him to come. The objective of their sending for him was that he would come and he would heal Lazarus from his sickness. Well, Jesus didn't come right then. He waited. Says he waited 2 days. By the time he gets there, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And we know what we've looked at in the last couple of lessons, that they got there, Jesus and the apostles, and Martha, first of all, heard he was coming and, you know, She ran out there to where he was, just outside the city. They lived in Bethany. Bethany is a little bitty place. I think I told you last week it was a little place south of Jerusalem. If you look at a map, it's due east, okay? But it's real. It's only about, the scripture says here, 15 furlongs, all right? A furlong's an eighth of a mile. So it's just under 2 miles from Jerusalem. So anyway, she runs out to meet Jesus and oh, Lord, Master, if you had just gotten here earlier, Lazarus would not have had to die. Oh, and then we have that great lesson and sermon on the resurrection. I'm telling you, it's exciting to read that. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26 and along in there and such. And so, nonetheless, we see that. Now, that brings us to where we stopped last week, I think. And we're going to start where we left off and back up just a little. Now, Martha had talked with Jesus, gotten this lecture on the resurrection and such. And bless her heart, she believed everything he was saying. She just wasn't getting it all exactly lined up like he wanted her to, all right? In essence, he said, Martha, don't worry about me being 4 days late, because he wasn't. Your brother's going to rise again. I'm going to raise him from the dead. Well, she hadn't got that quite yet. So anyway, in verse 28, speaking of Martha, let's pick up and read there. And when she had said... And when she had so said what she said in verse 27, she proclaimed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Now, I think this is where I left off. She ran back into the home, and she got Mary off by herself. There's a lot of people there. Remember, the folks of Jerusalem have come, and they're mourning, and they're there to comfort the sisters, and a typical funeral fare, and rightfully so. But she gets Mary aside by herself, and she said, you know, I think she may have whispered, said, listen, Jesus is right outside the city, and he's asking for you. Jesus has gotten here. Let's go see. So Mary, a lot of things happened with Mary and Martha. Mary had her focus right, okay? Not that Martha was, you know, ungodly or anything, but Mary had her focus right every time. We'll notice something in just a moment, all right? So she heard that, verse 29. And when she had so said, Martha, she went her way, and called, that's what I just read, verse 29. As soon as she, Mary, heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now, the indication is from the next verse we'll read in just a second, that she just got up and her and Martha took off out of the house, okay? They took off out of the house. They're going to see Jesus. The Jews, then, who were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Oh, she's going back to the cemetery to visit the grave and to weep there and to mourn there. All right? A lot of these Jews were unbelievers. They had not come to the place where they accepted Christ. Maybe they knew about him. Maybe they didn't. They're fixing to learn about him. Nonetheless, oh, she's going to the cemetery again. And she's going to mourn there. And so that's what they thought she was doing. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. It's an interesting thing. Every time I think, or for sure almost every time, I think it's every time, you read about Mary in the presence of Jesus, you know where you find her? At his feet. At his feet. Remember the one occasion when Jesus comes and Mary and Martha are there, and Mary is at the feet of Jesus, learning, listening, worshiping, serving. Martha's in the kitchen, and she's and it's, bless her heart. Don't condemn her. She's in the kitchen. She's got to get dinner ready. The guests have arrived. Jesus is here, and she even told Jesus, "Jesus, shouldn't Mary be in here helping me?" And Jesus said, to paraphrase, "She's right where she needs to be. She's the one that's got it right here." And so we find Mary at the feet of Jesus, bowing down at his feet. But listen, bless her heart, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Saying the same thing that Martha said. Oh, Lord, if you had just gotten here earlier, if you had gotten here 4.5 days ago, everything would have been okay and Lazarus wouldn't have died. Now, there's an important lesson in these next few verses. When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. What was he troubled about? Folks, now, not everybody preaches this way. And I respect their right to preach it a little incorrectly, okay? Not everybody preaches this way. He wasn't saddened and brokenhearted because his dear friend Lazarus was dead. Hey, he's going to raise him up in just a few minutes, okay? He knew that. He knew what was going on. His troubling within and his disappointment, what was in the disappointment and the unbelief that the Jews had. Even Mary and Martha, they weren't getting the message. They were just concentrating on what could have been if you'd have just gotten here earlier. Instead of saying, Jesus is here, everything's okay. How, whatever, it's all right, Jesus is here. Instead of having that attitude, what they did was they all just looked at what could have been. What could have been. You know, we got to be careful about that. Good practical lesson here. We've got to be careful. What could have been. What could have been just might not have been the Lord's will. It wasn't here. He's already said this, told the apostles this sickness is not unto death. He's already told them that, you know, it's going to be okay. Then they told him, well, he's dead. Lord, you know, he gets there and he's already in the grave. Folks, listen. God's timetable, God's plan, God's purpose may not be anything at all as we might think, as we might plan. Our idea might not be nearly as good as God's. It won't be, okay? It won't be. And so he groaned in the spirit and was troubled at their unbelief. He groaned and was troubled because, folk, I believe, especially these Jews, they were mourning, they were in sorrow, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, as those with no hope. Folk, listen, Mary and Martha knew. Martha's just said it a few verses earlier. I know that he's going to rise again at the day of the resurrection in the last day. They had confidence in his salvation. They had confidence in the Lord and the resurrection and all such as that. They're missing the current and right now application of this. And so Mary's the same way. And so he's troubled. Verse 34. And said. Now, there's a comment, verse 33, so we're still talking about Jesus. When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus knew where he was at. He just wants to involve these people. He just wants these people to know what is being said and what's going on. He knew where he was at, but he asked, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Now this verse is very commonly known as the shortest verse of the Bible. And as it is translated, it is. Jesus wept. Now this is where, and I hear this all the time at funerals, and again, I take a little different view of it. He didn't weep because Lazarus had died. Give him just a few minutes. Lazarus is going to be alive and well, and he knows that. Again, I believe he wept at the attitude and the lack of hope and the lack of trust and the lack of believing, the lack of understanding of those that by this time should have understand. I believe that's why he is troubled. I believe that's why he has wept. But the Jews, in their misunderstanding, the Jews, in verse 39, said, behold how he loved him. Oh, how he loved Lazarus. Oh, wait till they see how he loved him in a minute. Oh, how he loved him. And some of them said, verse 37, get this. This is beyond Mary and Martha. These folks obviously knew about Jesus. They knew what he could do. They know what he had been doing. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind and caused, have caused that even this man should not have died? Couldn't this man, who's healed the blind and made them to see, couldn't he have gotten here and kept him from dying? Sure, they're saying this. That's kind of a rhetorical question. They believe that he could. Why? You know, they're just like Mary and Martha. Oh, if he had just gotten here earlier. Oh, my goodness. Couldn't he have saved him if he had gotten here earlier? Verse 38, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself. And don't make more of that. Just, oh, my goodness, in him, to himself, he's saying, these people, and he's saddened by their disbelief and their unbelief and their lack of understanding. And so Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. And it was a cave and a stone laid upon it, just like the tomb of Jesus. Remember, it was a natural cave back in a cliff. Sometimes they went in and actually hewn these out of the rock. They would carve out a cave in a rock, and sometimes they would go in and make a turn and such, but they prepared a place because you can't dig graves in the rock, rocky ground, so they made them out of caves, and they put them in there. It was more of a tomb, and that's what we use the term with Jesus, and they would roll a great stone in front of them. Many times they rounded up a stone, like the image you have with the pictures you always see of Jesus. Many times that was accurate. They would have a stonemason, and usually if someone did this, they were more wealthy. But in some way, they would put a stone in front of that opening of the grave. And they would be sure that it was close enough. A lot of times they dug a little trench right in front of the opening, and that stone would roll, and when it fell down in that trench, it was extremely difficult to get back out because it was so heavy. Whatever it was, they had this cave. Lazarus had been prepped for burial. That's not as they do today. They had him wrapped, again, think of a mummy. They had him wrapped and ready for that. They put him in the grave, and they rolled that stone in front of it. Jesus and all of these people, Martha and Mary, and all of these mourners, all of these friends, they have come now to the graveside. Jesus said, verse 39, take ye away the stone. Jesus could have, by the power of the spoken word, spoken and that stone just disintegrated into gravel. He could have, by the power of the spoken word, just spake and that stone would have rolled up out of there and rolled out of there, fell away from that opening where you could get in. He could have done that. Folk, listen. There are times when we are calling upon the Lord that we have to do our part as well. We have to do our part as well. Following the instruction of Jesus. This doesn't lessen what Jesus could have done. It doesn't minimize his power. It doesn't do anything to take away from who he is or what he is. He gave instruction. All right? A couple of things. We have to do our part. And one is, we have to demonstrate our faith in following the instructions of Jesus. Roll away the stone. He says, take away the stone. Poor old Martha, bless her heart. Martha, the sister of him, verse 39, that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. I looked up the word stinketh. I thought, you know, maybe that was a little extreme. It comes from a Greek word, ozone, in which we get the word odor. Okay? In this day and time, in this area, this is very, very shortly. You read into the next chapter, you'll find that this is just a very few days before he is crucified. Probably 6 or 7 days, 7, 8 days at the most before he's crucified. It would have been in the spring. That's when the Passover was. like we celebrate Easter in the spring. Now, it's never the same. This year it's very late, by the way. It's the last Sunday possible in April. But nonetheless, this would have been in the spring. It would have been warm. They didn't have all of the embalming process and such, and so he had been wrapped and anointed with spices and such as that, and he had been laid in the grave. And he was laying there in the grave. And Martha's right. Lord, he'd been dead 4 days. The natural decomposition, not to be morbid, would have already begun, and he would have stunk, however you want to put it. He stinketh, rightfully so. I think when they rolled that stone away, there was an odor come out of that place. Not a very pleasant one. It's not a pleasant odor. Take away the stone. Well, Martha says, Lord, we can't. He's already been dead 4 days, but now he stinks. Bless her heart, she hadn't got it yet. Hadn't got it yet. She will. Listen to this. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Martha, go back to the previous page. If Martha, did not tell you, if you would believe, you can see the glory of God, the power of God, the demonstration of God? Oh, we believe you're the Son of God. Yes, I know that he's going to rise again in the last day. Jesus reminds her. Verse 42. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was. The men got together and they got their shoulder against it. They got their pry bars. However they did this, they took away the stone. And there's the opening into the grave. Lazarus' old body, wrapped up like a mummy, is up in there. And Lazarus is up in that grave. They've got the stone rolled away. There is a distinct odor coming out of that grave. If there wasn't, that's okay. But I think there was. They took that away. When they did that, there's nothing now between Jesus and this miracle. Not that there was, but in the sense of our understanding. When they took that stone away, I love what Jesus does here. Jesus takes time to pray. Jesus always prayed before something great happened. Look back over there before he began his earthly ministry, 40 days in the wilderness praying, getting ready. Before he went to the cross, there in the garden the night before, the hours before, praying to the Father. He's going to pray here. He says, Father, verse 41, I thank you that thou hast heard me. I thank you that thou hast heard me. Now listen to what he explains, that verse himself. He says, I knew that thou hast heardest me always. Lord, he said, Father, I know you always hear me. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. What is the purpose of miracles? Jesus tells us in this particular miracle, the purpose of it, and I think all others. What is the purpose? That they may believe that thou hast sent me. Mary and Martha and Lazarus are believers. There are apparently others in this crowd that are believers, but I'm absolutely certain, and we'll see why in just a moment, that there are some who are not believers. There are some unbelievers in this. And so he prays, Father, hear me. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for hearing me. And I know that you do, and you have. But because of the people which stand by, I said what I've said, that it may be that they may believe that thou hast sent me. They'll know and understand. Listen to this. And when he had thus spoken, I don't believe he said amen. I don't believe he asked for any comment. I don't believe he said, okay, folks, now pay attention. Okay, folks, watch this. He didn't say that. He prayed to the Father. The next words out of his mouth, I believe the next breath, the next words out of his mouth, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice. I believe there's something here. A loud voice. He wanted the people to hear what he said. It wasn't so Lazarus would hear it, okay? He could have whispered and Lazarus would have got the message. But he wanted everybody to see and hear what was going on. He spoke with a loud voice. Lazarus, come forth. That's all he said. He didn't go in and he didn't do anything. He didn't go in and put his hands on the body. He didn't go through any long, drawn-out ritual. He just spoke. Folk, I'm telling you, with the power of God, all he's got to do is speak. Read Genesis chapter 1. And the Lord said, he spoke. The simple spoken word of God is enough. The simple spoken word of God is all that was needed here. That's all we need today. Like I talked about this morning, hear the word of God. It's everything that we need. Folk, it's enough in a simple little statement. Lazarus, come forth, three words, to get a dead man out of the tomb. It's all we need. He said, Lazarus, come forth. I wonder for just a second what the reaction of the crowd was. They all kind of looked at each other, and Mary and Martha are kind of standing there taken aback. What's he saying? What's he doing? And out of that tomb, now not everybody agrees with this, but I'm confident of this. Out of that tomb, the next verse, and he that was dead came forth. Now we picture Lazarus coming up and walking out of that tomb. No, sir. No. Let's keep reading. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Picture that image of a mummy as we think of it. He is bound up in strips of cloth from the top of his head to the toes of his feet, bound, his arms probably crossed. He is wound up to where he couldn't move if he wanted to. How did he come out of that grave? By the power of the spoken word of God. I believe he just floated right out of that grave. You saw, surely he didn't float out. If you're bound hand and foot, how else are you going to get out? Folk, let's don't minimize what Jesus is doing here. And folk, listen. That got some attention. That got some attention from these people. They saw that. And let me tell you what that response was. And I wasn't there. But I'm telling you, they stepped back. Their eyes were as big as saucers. Their mouth is agape. They're looking. Maybe some are whispering to one another. I think they're standing there just absolutely taken aback, startled. They don't know what to say. Lazarus, come forth. And there's a rustling in that little old tomb, and out comes this mummy all wrapped up, floating out of the grave. I like what happens next. And he that was dead, verse 44 again, he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin, typical Hebrew burial practices. Jesus saith unto them, now we've seen the miracle. The miracle is that the dead man has come out of the tomb. That's a miracle, no doubt. That don't happen every day. And then Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Now, folks, you tell you what, you can preach right here. Loose him and let him go. Now, I don't know, again, I like to visualize this. Everybody's looking at one another and finally somebody, maybe it was Mary, maybe it was Martha, maybe it was some of the men, somebody, maybe it was those who had wrapped him up. Somebody went up there and they found that place where that last wrap was tucked in, and they pulled that out and they began to unwind old Lazarus. They began to pass that cloth around and they began to unwind him. And pretty soon his feet are free, and that old stuff's unwinding pretty fast, and his arms are free, and man, when his arms were free, they come down, they got his head unwrapped. Maybe they started at the head, I don't know. But they got him unwrapped, and let me tell you what, old Lazarus was as good as new. As good as new. He was glad to be unwrapped. He was glad to be loosed, because Jesus had brought him not back from sickness. He had brought him back from the dead. loose him and let him go. Folks, I'm telling you what. Oh, Lazarus was free. Oh, he had been free already in salvation. But I believe the application is, or the scripture is applicable here. You know, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Let me tell you what, Lazarus was free from death. Lazarus was free from the grave. Lazarus was free from the grave cloth. Lazarus had been loosed and let go by the power of the spoken word of Jesus. And a miracle had happened. And folks, great and exciting things are still on the way as Jesus says, loose him and let him go. They get him unwound. And I'm telling you, by this time, Mary and Martha are as excited as they've ever been in life. Look, Martha, he's alive. He's alive. Mary says, look at that. Martha says to Mary, Martha, Jesus wasn't too late. He is alive. It's just like he told us out there a while ago. Jesus is alive. The other people are standing there. They're excited. I'm telling you, they're just looking at all of this. They're excited for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And here's one of the most important things that happens in this whole miracle. Keep reading in verse 45. Then many of the Jews who came to Mary and had seen the things that Jesus did believed on him. Folks, I'm telling you what. When we get out of the way and let Jesus work, people will be saved. When people see the power of God in our lives, they will come to the place where you can lead them to the Lord. When people see Jesus working in our lives, he worked in the life of Lazarus, he worked in the life of Mary and Martha, but most literally in Lazarus, folks, the people believed. Not everybody that was there were believers. Oh, they were sorrowful and they were mourning. Oh, woe is me. Lazarus is dead. Oh, Lord, if you'd have gotten here a few days ago, he wouldn't have had to die. Oh, is this man that healed the blind man? Couldn't he have kept this from happening if he had gotten here earlier? I'm telling you, all of that's forgotten because Jesus has loosed him and let him go. Oh, them men may have went and unwrapped him, but it was Jesus that let him go. It was Jesus that gave him the freedom from the grave clothes and the grave and from the very clutches of death. Now, unfortunately, old Lazarus, he lived. We don't know anything more after this. He lived a while longer and he died again. At that time, he didn't get raised from the dead, but you know what? He will one day. Lazarus is going to get to experience the resurrection twice. That's a pretty neat deal, you know. He's going to live again. Don't worry about him. Yeah, yes, but bless his heart, he died again. And he'll live again in the flesh. He's alive and well in the presence of God right now. But he will, even in the flesh, yet live again. Loose him and let him go. And the people believed. Oh, how great and how wonderful it is. Now, if we stop there, it don't get any better. Just like with almost every one of Jesus' miracles, there's always a troublemaker. Always somebody in the crowd that doubts. Always somebody in the crowd that you know, tries to, you know, make up something that made it not really happen or not true. Always someone. Always a skeptic in the crowd. And folk, there will be as you serve the Lord and you get loud and faithful in your life and you begin to tell people about Jesus, there's always going to be the scorner. There's always going to be the guy that while you're talking to this person at the lunch table at work and you're talking to them about the Lord, there's always going to be the fellow that's sitting right over here says, I don't believe all that mess. Well, bless your heart, I wasn't talking to you. Listen, we're talking about Jesus. But there's always that person. Verse 46. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Now we're going to stop right there and we'll pick up there next week. But folk, listen. What they went to tell the Pharisees was not, you can't believe what Jesus has done. I'm telling you, you need to trust this man. You need to know that he is the Christ. No, sir, they wouldn't say, you know what that Jesus did? You know what he did this time? And we'll see the further response of that. We've got to look at the rest of this. We have seen the miracle. We have experienced the miracle today in everything that we've looked at. Lazarus, come forth. Loose him and let him go. Folk, it does not get any better than that. Folk, I'm telling you today, when a lost person accepts Christ as our personal Savior, as their personal Savior, folk, listen, they are given life everlasting. Lazarus was given life and he died again. He already had the life everlasting. Don't fall into the trap. Well, where was he the 4 days that he was dead and such? I don't know, and it don't matter. I'm telling you, the miracle is that Jesus raised him from the dead. And many people believed. Folk, I'm telling you today, we live in a world that needs to get the stone rolled away, because they are in a place that, pardon the graphic, they are in a place that stinks. And they need Jesus. And folk, we need to believe that Jesus can get them out of that place. And we need to do our part. Roll away the stone, loose him, and let him go. We've got to do our part. And when we do, we'll see people believe. We'll see people come to the place they accept Christ. We will see in our lives, maybe not to this extent, but it doesn't, again, minimize what Jesus does. We will see God's power in action. We will see God work wonderful things in the lives of other people. Salvation is not a miracle, but I'm telling you what, it's as good as it gets outside of that. And we'll get to see that. Folk, I pray this is not the fact. But if you have never led anybody to Christ, you can't imagine what kind of a joy you are missing. They get the ultimate when they accept Christ. But folks, let me tell you what. You talk to somebody about Jesus. We're going to preach about this next Sunday morning. You lead somebody to Jesus. You talk to them about Christ. You help them to see that they're lost and they need a Savior. You help them to see the difference in heaven and hell. You help them to see that Jesus died for them. And you lead them through that in a simple path of salvation. And they say, yes, I do want to be saved. I do want Christ in my heart. And they pray a prayer of repentance. And they come to the place where they have realized a Savior. And they have been born again. They have been saved. Folk, let me tell you what, humbly, you're going to feel good about being a part of their salvation. Yes, they did it. God provided it. But you got to be the messenger. Oh, how today we got to do our part. And when we do, we'll see the power of God work.